I watched Borat Part 2 yesterday. I felt like Borat yesterday. I really did. Or I felt like Borat or Julia with a printer, because I consider myself a techie guy. It's, as I've said hundreds of times on the show, it's the only way I'm a dude. I am techie. For the life of me, I could not figure out how. They sent me a link. Amazon sent me a link, and I was trying to figure out how to mirror my phone onto the television device.
Yes, just figured this out recently this weekend.
Oh well,
what
and
does
I
that mean?
Okay, well, I switched TVs, so I'm learning about the TV itself. Let alone,
yeah.
So, it means like so. I start. You can mirror whatever is on your phone to your television.
Okay.
That's how we watch 90 Day Fiancé and our TLC shows on the big TV. I broadcast it to the TV.
Yes, I do it through on Apple. It's called Apple AirPlay or mirroring. And on your iPhone, you hit mirror. And then I have an Apple TV, so you mirror it to whatever Apple TV is on. And mine is, I've named it Jason's Big Ass TV, which is funny every time I see that pop up on the screen. Anyway, so... I'm trying to mirror it, and it wasn't working. So I started laughing at myself because I'm by myself. Colin's at work because I feel like Borat because I'm like, I can't figure this out. And I'm seeing picture, but I'm not hearing sound anyway. 20 minutes later, I got Borat on the screen, and I will tell you, I'm a huge fan of the original Borat. I love Bruno. I like Sacha Baron Cohen. If you're listening to this and you're not a fan of him and you weren't a fan of him, I am here to tell you, you will probably still not be a fan of him. It is rinse and repeat. But here's the deal. Back when Borat came out, it was brand new. This type of social and political commentary and satire, we had never seen satire like on this level, and it was apt for the time. So now you're wondering, is it still legitimate, and is it still does it have its teeth? And it does.
And can you get away with it?
Well, and that is covered in the beginning of the movie, because one of the things I was like, how are they going to do this? And I think we talked about this when we covered just the announcement that there is a Borat 2.
Yeah.
Borat is now part of pop culture. And no matter where you are in the country, there's probably a good portion of the population in each city that knows who Borat is. I mean, it's a Halloween costume, for heaven's sake, which they actually poke fun of in the movie. And in the movie...
Angel did it.
Yeah, in the movie, I guess Halloween stores like... Spirit, it's called Dumb Foreign Reporter. It's what they call. It's what they call the Halloween costume. According to the movie, anyway. Well, that's how he gets away with it, and it's a wink to the audience. He Borat in character acknowledges that he's now famous in America, and he needs a costume wherever he goes. The basic plot of this movie is he now has a daughter. And he wants to bring the daughter to America to give her to either give her to the president or the vice president or somebody close to, as he says, the crown. So the daughter is the unexpected jewel in this movie. And most of the critics that I've read reviews of agree. I don't know where Sacha Baron Cohen found this actress that is willing. She is on par with him.
How old is she?
I think she's in her 20s or 30s.
So she plays at that age, or did she play
a little bit younger? But she is on par with Sacha Baron Cohen as far as what she is willing to do as a comedian and an actress. The stuff. Okay. There were some huge she moments that when you watch this, I almost sent you all a picture to give you context, but I decided no. There is a scene where he makes his way with the daughter to a Georgia debutante ball. Oh. And let's just say they do a father-daughter dance.
Oh,
And it ends like I could not believe what I was watching. She lifts up her dress, and I looked at the dogs. I looked at Dexter and Mr. I covered their eyes. I was like, boys, I don't want you to see this.
Oh, Lord.
Now, obviously, as I was watching this movie, the news was breaking yesterday on Twitter, because I guess a lot of reviewers got to watch Borat, about Rudy Giuliani.
Yes.
That he is caught in a...
That's what I was going to ask about.
He's caught in a compromising position. Now, look, Rudy and Rudy's people and those defenders of Rudy will say, oh, it was nothing. Now, I will tell you, it wasn't as scandalous as I thought it was. I'm going to be fair. It wasn't as scandalous as some of the tweets made it seem, but it is highly embarrassing. So Rudy agrees to be interviewed by who he thinks is a legitimate young journalist, a foreign journalist, and it's Borat's daughter. And they're in a hotel room, and this is the very end of the movie. And he's a little, I'm going to be, as much as I'm going to be fair, I'm also going to be honest. He's a little mervy. There's some mervy things that he says, and he puts his hand on her waist. I mean, he's a little gross in parts. But look, there's a lot of gross men out there. The part that's in question that you saw a freeze frame of that is getting a lot of play is the fact that at the very end of the interview, Rudy Giuliani lays down on the bed and puts his hand down his pants in order to take off his microphone. And that is his defense. And she is hovering over him. His defense is he was just taking off the microphone. To be fair, and again, I'm not being political here. To be fair, I have taken off a microphone 4,000 times in my life. I've never had to lay down in order to do that.
No.
That's why he laid down?
Yeah, that's what he says.
Just lift up your shirt in the back, like, right?
Yeah, that's what he's... Now, I'm just being fair. His defense and his defenders are saying, oh, Mr. Giuliani was just taking off the microphone, the TV microphone, which is called a lav mic. I'm just telling you.
Would they run it through his crotch?
No, well, I mean, even if they did...
Yeah, are we taking the tube
moment? I have to run it... I run it under my shirt, which inevitably goes down my pants. I take off my TV microphone every single weekday of my life. I do not have to lay down to do it. You unsnake it through your shirt.
Yeah, we've all done it, for sure.
Yeah. Y'all have been on my show. Kenny, I don't know if you've ever had a lav mic on you. It does not require you to lay down on a bed to do it. It's not...
Well, as you watched it, was he trying to be like, hey, look at me? Or
this was just
it...
a still shot is what you're...
No, it's video. I'm saying the still shot is what you all can see. Right. So you see the movie on Twitter.
Right. But you see watching the movie, did it feel like he was being creeper? Why do it like that?
It felt like he was being creepy. I mean, he was, I think, just as an observer. Mm-hmm. He felt it was creepy. I mean, he was being a little mervy pervy.
He liked her.
Now, again, I don't think it wasn't as long or as horrible as I read before I watched it. But it was gross. I mean, it was kind of weird to watch. And again, the mic thing, just because I know that take it from me, guys, you don't need to lay down. I mean, I'll prove it today on my Instagram. You can take off a lav mic. But overall, you know, I'll button this up by saying the movie still plays well even in 2020. You know, it's the same jokes. But you know what's not funny, which I think takes on a more serious meaning, even more than it did in 2006, is the fact that he really does expose some of the worst people in our country. And this isn't a political statement. I'm saying people that chant like racist tropes and racist phrases and that willingly do it. It scared me that there's people like that out there that he convinces to do this freely. That's what's frightening to me. Is the shining a mirror on some of our folks. And it seems more, it was funny in 2006. Now it kind of scares me. Now it just, it scares me a little bit. And again, let me be clear. I'm not talking about everybody on the right. I'm talking about racists. I'm talking about the people that he gets to say not only racist things, but he exposes a lot of hypocrisy, which is kind of what Borat does. It shines a light on hypocrisy on both sides, really on both sides of the political spectrum. But I walked away. I felt real icky, not to sound like a 7-year-old. I walked away. I walked away feeling not as joyous as I did. It was funnier in 2006 for a myriad of reasons is what I'm tripping and trying to say. So
can you see the desire to get it out before the election and why?
Yeah, I mean, if the filmmakers. Yeah, I mean, possibly. Yeah, I mean, look, I would be naive to think that there might not be a motivation to do it before the election. That would be ridiculous of me and to not acknowledge that. Yeah. But again, it wasn't about Democrats, Republicans. It was just about he put a flashlight on some just really gross people. Just really. And
do you think some of their lives will be changing today? Or after people really, you know.
No, you know why? Because some of the people I think are, they have no shame. I don't think so. I think they have no, some of the subjects, I think they don't see what they're doing is wrong. So no, I think they have no shame. So, but watch and judge for yourself. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's so uncomfortable. I just saw a still picture of him. It looked like some lingerie, and they're running down the street, I guess, with his daughter.
Borat, that's after the Rudy Giuliani moment. That's at the very end of the movie.
Just seeing that still, having him run through the streets, already, without even seeing having any context.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I saw on the sheet that you watched it. I'm like, wait, that doesn't come out till Friday. Yeah.
Watch and see for yourself. Again, we're late, but just to put a nice button on it. Still good. I'm still a fan, but sadly, I walked away more hurt, not hurt, but kind of feeling icky just about this about the fact that there's just some gross people in the world. There's just not nice people in the world.